South Central Indiana is chock full of part-time musicians who cobble together a living by playing in the many regional orchestras in this area. As the economy took a plunge and arts organizations started tightening their belts, these musicians felt the effects in their bank accounts. Artwork spoke with two such musicians in 2009 to find out how they were being affected. I recently caught back up with them to find out how their musical lives have changed since last year and where they see their careers going in the future. Mary Moran spent 3 years in Indiana playing viola in regional orchestras in Columbus, Terre Haute, Evansville, and even Owensboro, Kentucky. She now lives with her husband in El Paso, Texas. She says she has started teaching violin lessons as well as viola lessons in order to make herself more marketable as a private teacher.
I think really as a musician, the more you can do for yourself that you can offer to people, the better off you are. It's something where it's helpful to be a jack of all trades or at least a jack of many trades. I can't control when people are going to call me for gigs, you know, as much as I try to put my name out there. But as long as I have students, it really does help to keep my income steady despite any fluctuations that the economy has on arts organizations.
In addition to her private studio, she does play viola with the El Paso Symphony. Unlike South Central Indiana, she says, the El Paso area does not include as many smaller orchestras with which she could play. So she supplements her income by playing weddings and informal gigs like private parties. Anything to get her name out.
A lot of it is in networking, and this is something that I felt in Indiana as well. When I was there, I was not in school, so when I went out to try to find work, people kind of looked at me like, oh, you know, who are you and what are you doing here? But once you start working, you know, it just takes really one gig, and you go, you show people that you do a good job, that you're a pleasant person, and that you show up on time. I know those sound like really basic things, but for anything that you do, that's really important.
The more people you know, the more opportunities will most likely come your way, because a lot of the music world is just kind of word of mouth and, you know, who you know and being in the right place at the right time.
That's Krista Weiss. She recently finished school at Indiana University and now makes a living playing clarinet with various regional orchestras like the Columbus, Indiana Philharmonic and the Terre Haute Symphony Orchestra. She says thanks to connections she's made with other musicians in South Central Indiana, she has another music job that now takes up most of her time.
Luckily for me, I play in the Terre Haute Symphony, which is really closely associated with the university in Terre Haute. When some of the other faculty members heard that there was a clarinet opening, they all know me through the symphony and they encouraged me to apply. And so through my work with the symphony, I was able to get this great teaching opportunity in the university.
With her teaching and performing positions, Weiss says she feels like she's in a stable position, and she can work on her own to eventually get to the next level of her career.
Right now, it's about half playing, half teaching, and I would love to be in a position where I'm in maybe a full-time orchestra or something closer to that, because the regional orchestras I play in now are great, but they're, you know, every couple weeks. So I'd love to be playing in an orchestra that meets more regularly and that, you know, pays more.
Moran, on the other hand, has found stability in building a private studio and seeking out performance opportunities on her own.
In some ways, honestly, I would have to say that I'm a little bit happier now because I'm not so focused on professional auditions for full-time symphony orchestras. You know, that would be a great thing to have, but I didn't really enjoy the process of auditioning for orchestras so much. And so now I feel like, despite not doing those sort of things, I'm working a lot, and I love that.
Both Weiss and Moran have performed with the Columbus, Indiana Philharmonic. While Columbus is probably best known for its architecture, this town of 40,000 people has been supporting its regional orchestra for 23 years.
It's wonderful that people can stay in Columbus and hear the classics, that they don't have to come to Bloomington or go to Indianapolis.
That's Alice Curry, executive director of the Columbus, Indiana Philharmonic. Along with music director David Bowden, Curry has been with the orchestra since its formation in 1987.
And so they have heard the classics that they never realized they would ever hear, let alone that, oh my gosh, I really like this Bartok, or I really like this Barber. I never knew I'd like Barber. We hear that all the time.
back in 2009, I spoke with Curry about how the orchestra was holding up under difficult economic conditions. I touched base with her again recently to find out how things are looking 1 year later. She says, preparing for the worst, they went into the 2009-2010 season budgeting for a $38,000 deficit. They cut rehearsals, cut wages, and reduced staff. But when the season ended in July 2010, she says, they happily found themselves with a $14,000 surplus.
It just worked. It just worked. We really kept the line on expenses. We didn't spend a nickel that we didn't have to spend. We had really good single ticket sales last season. And so maybe they weren't all season subscribers, but there were maybe one or two concerts that people wanted to come hear.
So over these past 23 years, have you seen trends in the sorts of concerts that bring in single ticket visitors?
We have. I think when we present Dan McKinley, Dan is such a well-known person in Columbus. When he plays that Aeolian Skinner organ, I mean, it's like you're listening to the organ up in heaven. And last year we did a sports theme concert that brought in people that probably had never been to a Philharmonic concert, and yet they wanted to come because we honored sports heroes from Columbus. So variety has been sort of the password.
It's great when you get first-time visitors to a concert. The thing is getting them to come again. Mm-hmm. So as an executive director, how do you make that happen?
We try to make our events, that they don't just walk in the door, sit down in their seat, and listen to a concert, get up and leave. David does Musically Speaking, which is right before the concert, so that they get a behind-the-scenes look at what they're going to hear that evening. After the concert, we have receptions, and we try to invite a variety of people to those receptions. So it's making it an evening out, more than just the music. This year, for the 10-11 season, we've got something that we're offering for the first time called Buy One, Get One Half Off. And so we have contacted everyone who has been a single ticket buyer, giving them this opportunity to become a subscriber so that they pay for their first ticket, then they get the second one half 50% off.
Looking ahead also to the 10-11 season, you said last season you had a surplus. So I'm wondering if that's going to affect how you operate in this upcoming season, because you have this money that you didn't know you were going to have.
With that money, we have already reinstated some rehearsals. That was first and foremost the primary thing that the board and staff wanted to do. We will reinstate a little bit of the pay cuts that happened. And yet the economy is dictating to us, don't get too excited here. You know, continue that conservative aspect that you had last year.
You can hear my complete conversation with Alice Curry in an upcoming episode of Profiles here on WFIU. For WFIU Arts, I'm Annie Corrigan.